chapter 8. And I got one scripture for you to find if you want to put up there. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 27, which isn't too far from where we're at in Joshua. And that is actually going to lead us into communion. That'll be at the end of the lesson. As you're finding that, let me remind you, it didn't make it in the bulletin, but this Saturday coming up is the men's breakfast and Bible study. That will be here at the church at 8 o'clock this Saturday, the men's study. Make sure, fellas, you're a part of that. We are studying our way through the Old Testament. We're in the book of Joshua. You might recall that Joshua and the children of Israel had their great victory at Jericho. The walls came down. They had this great victory. But one guy in the whole group sinned against God and took some of the things that were dedicated to the Lord. And so they got a little cocky, feeling pretty good about themselves. They go and attack with just a handful of guys this small town called Ai. Well, they get beat pretty bad. Remember that? And they get driven back. And so Joshua then freaks out and saying, God, why are you doing this to us? How many of you know that whenever we do something stupid, we're very quick to blame God, right? You guys ever do that? Yeah, a few honest people in here. We're really claiming we don't seek God's guidance, but we mess up and we blame God for our failure, right? Well, God told him, hey, I'm not the problem here, Joshua. You guys are the problem. They got everything straightened out, and now God is going to give them a great victory. So in chapter 7, we learned, and let me just review these five things real quick. They'll go real quick. And then I've got 5 points from chapter 8 that will teach us how to get past our past failures and move into victory. But the 5 things we learned in chapter 7, just to set us up for today, is the first thing we learned is that you cannot hide sin from God. Remember that? Achan hid the things he stole in the tent, but God says, you can't do that. So you can't hide sin. You can't steal from God. The second thing that we learned in chapter 7 was that prayer doesn't work when confession is needed. Verses 10 through 12. God told Joshua, hey, don't talk to me until you take care of the sin in the camp, right? And then the third thing we learned this from Achan, was that confession doesn't count if it's only done after we've been caught and cornered. Went through this whole process of finding out who it was. God gave him all day to fess up to him. God would have forgiven, but he didn't do it. And so finally when he gets busted, he goes, yeah, it was me, right? But it didn't count. The fourth thing we learned, and this is one of the greatest things for you and I, is that God makes the Valley of Achor, this place where Achan and his family lost their life, God makes it a door of hope. Once again for the overhead, would you put Hosea 2:15? This is just such a great verse of scripture. I want us just to read it again. God says, I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And we talked about this a lot last week. What was that door of hope? The ability to repent. Remember that? And God will restore. He will forgive our sins and he will make us anew. The valley of Achor can be and is our door of hope. And then the fifth thing we learn is that we must learn from our mistakes and our failures to better be able to handle similar situations that happen in our life, right? God doesn't want us to have to reinvent the wheel every time. We learn from our mistakes, we improve on them, and we move forward, right? Well, that leads us right into chapter 8. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. The first word there is the word now. As we're studying the Bible, remember that whenever you see that word now, it's kind of like the word and or the word but. That usually means that it's connecting what's about to be said with what has just happened. So now this is all part of the same story. Let's read here and then talk about it. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and rise up and go to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only, here's the difference, only its spoils and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. And so Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city, behind the city. Now don't go very far from the city, and you be ready to go. Verse 5. Then I and all the people who are with me, we will approach the city, and it will come out as they did at the first, and will flee from before them. For they will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city, for they will say, they are fleeing before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them, and then you shall arise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hands. And it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord you shall do. See, I have commanded you. Now, here is some awesome, awesome truths here. They had this very bad defeat. They were beaten severely by this little city of Ai. They've repented. They took care of the sin situation. God says, now. Okay? Notice how once sin is confessed, once restoration has been made and communication with God is restored, God then gives us the divine power, starts to flow again, and we can move on to what God has for us. Here's the first point. If you're writing them down, I've got five for us today. The first point is this. Put yesterday's failures and disappointments behind you and move forward. Put yesterday's failures and disappointments behind you and move forward. For the overhead, please. Proverbs 28:13 tells us this. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So you messed up. Repent. Take care of what you have to take care of, and then move forward. God said to them, now go up, Joshua, and take this. How many of you know the name Colonel Harlan Sanders? Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? Finger licking good. Do you know that he experimented over 2,000 times with different mixtures before he came up with his 11 herbs and spices? Over 2,000 times. You know what his motto was? He had it on the wall. If at first you don't succeed, fry a hen. I don't know if that's true or not, but I thought it was kind of cute. But a successful Christian is one who will get up one more time after he's been knocked down. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 24:16 that a righteous man may fall seven times, but he gets back up. Who is the successful man? Who is the successful woman? The one who gets knocked down six times and stands up seven, right? Okay, Joshua, okay, Israel, you had a defeat. You got beat pretty bad, but now get up and move forward. And look what he says still in verse 1, don't be afraid. I think this is a good word for somebody here today, and that is that we're discouraged over our past, and because of that, we fear our future. God says, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Okay? Don't be afraid, keep moving forward. This was much different advice, right? He says, take all the people of war with you. The men in the last chapter said just send 2,000, 3,000 guys. They sent 3,000 guys and got beat, right? God says, send everybody. Now, what's the spiritual purpose of that? What can we glean from that? Well, here's what we can glean, a couple things. Number one is don't underestimate the enemy. Okay, he is defeated, but he's still a fighter, right? So don't underestimate him. Don't overestimate him, but don't underestimate yourself. We have the authority of the Word of God. We've got the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, right? And we've got the communion of the brethren, right? So we have the victory, but we need to make sure we put on the whole armor of God, right? God told him, you take everybody against this city. Yes, it's a small city, but you still take everybody. You see, when we start emphasizing one thing and not everything, we start losing. Let me explain that to you. Different churches around the world, a lot of them will emphasize one part of the whole God thing. Maybe it's just worship. And they're all about the music. They're all about the lights, the smoke, and the mirrors, right? It's all about music. But there's no word. They're unbalanced. Maybe there's a church that's all about the word. I have to be careful of this because I'm a word guy, right? I'm like, okay, get through the song so we can get to the word. Hey, the songs are very important. It's not just music. We don't just do that, right? I mean, it's worshiping and honoring God. We will learn that at the end of this chapter. We need them both. There's some churches that they just emphasize the moving and the infilling and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which they're all necessary, right? But if you just focus on one and leave out the others, you see what I'm saying? You ever see a guy in the gym that he only works out on arm day? Top part from waist up, real buff and big. You're kind of like me. Visualize me. But legs are like this skinny. Like, dude, you got to do leg day, right? When the Spirit, you got to hit it all, right? See, Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. The problem is we got a lot of naked Christians out there trying to fight spiritual battles. Oh, they got a sword, which is the word of God, which is very necessary, but they don't have the shield of faith. Or they have the shield of faith, but not the sword. And although you got to have a shield and a sword, you got to have the shoes. Making sense? We got to have it all. So he says, take all the people to Ai. And then the greatest part here is he gives them the strategy. And this isn't this an awesome, awesome strategy? He says to him, still in verse 2 here, he says, go and do that. But I wanted to highlight in verse 2, we see something happening here. The only thing different than Jericho is he says, now you get to keep all the spoils. See, Jericho was a picture of the first fruits, was a picture of tithing, was a picture of giving and honoring God, right? From this point on, they get to keep everything, including the cattle, he says here. So it's really, really awesome. Well, point number two we find in verse 2 is that God gives us the strategies or the directions for our lives. Here he gives them this great battle plan about dividing the troops and putting them different places. For the overhead, this is an important scripture. James 1:5 says this. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of Dr. Phil. Let him ask Google. Let him ask on Facebook. Now, who do we go to when we need our help and direction? Let him ask God, and look what God does. And God gives liberally. God's not going to hold you back. He's not going to deny you. And without reproach, he's not going to say, you stupid child of mine. No. He's going to take us lovingly, and he will give it, what? The wisdom that we need. God, I'm facing this situation. I don't know what to do. God very lovingly and caringly will direct us and guide us. He'll do that primarily through his word. Sometimes he'll speak to us through music. Sometimes he'll speak to us through prayer for a word of wisdom or a word of prophecy. But God will give to you, but we need to ask him. Amen? And then another great scripture, Psalms 37, 23, and 24, kind of sums this up here. This is great. Here we learn that the steps of a good man are ordered, some Bibles say, are ordained by the Lord. Can I do a little side note here? Some of you need to know this. The stops of the righteous are sometimes ordained by God. Think about that a little bit. There's so many people that get themselves in a jam, and so God will close a door, will stop an opportunity, and we'll start rebuking that closed door when God says, child, please. So just as the steps of a righteous man are ordained by God, so are the stops of a righteous man or woman. Make sense? Put that back up there, please. Can we have that again? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. What's that talking about? I mean, we take pleasure and delight in walking the way of the word. It might go against the grain of society. Hey, can I say something very unpolitically correct? Don't worry about being politically correct. Be right. Thank you. He delights in his way. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? Because you know what? You're walking the way of God. Maybe you stumble. But God says, you're trucking on my path. I'll pick you up and keep you going. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Isn't that awesome? That is so cool. So cool. Well, let's keep going on our story here. So in verses 2 through 8, God has given Joshua the strategy here. Joshua is now communicating it to the guys here. Let's start reading at verse 9. Let's start reading verse 9. So Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went and they lie in ambush. Underline this if you would, please. And stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he mustered the people. And he went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai, and all the people of war who were with him went up, and they drew near, and they came before the city, and they camped on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley that lay between them and Ai. So he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city, and its rear guard on the west of the city, and Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. So here's what God has said to him to do. Take 30,000 guys and put them around the backside of Ai. Now take another 5,000 guys and put them between Bethel and Ai. Now although it doesn't give all the explanation, in chapter 12, Bethel is listed as a defeated city. Here at the end of this, we're going to see that during this time, Israelites wipe out Bethel. So they were kind of, Ai and Bethel were kind of partners. They were only a couple miles apart from each other. And so to keep the guys from coming out of Bethel to help Ai, we're going to put 5,000 guys here to stop them. Okay? What a great plan, right? I just think this is so awesome of God. And just brilliant. But I told you to underline in verse 9, they stayed between Bethel and Ai. I just got thinking about this because, like I said earlier, I really get into the language, into the word, and all this kind of stuff like that. And it's interesting, Bethel, the name Bethel means house of bread. And Ai means heap or ruins. And I got thinking, you know, a lot of Christians today are kind of like these 5,000, and that is that they kind of camp between the house of bread, which is a representative of the church, and ruins, which is the world, right? And Jesus spoke to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and says, you know, I'm going to vomit you out because you're stuck between hot and cold. You're not any good. Now, in this situation, they were doing good, right? I mean, but kind of, go with me here on this picture. Don't let yourself be stuck between the house of bread and ruins. You see, a lukewarm Christian is of no value to Jesus, is of no help to the church. In fact, you're a worse witness than you are a good witness. There's a proverb. Excuse me for not knowing the address right off the top of my head, but I know it's in Proverbs. It says that murky waters doesn't give clear vision. What's that talking about? Well, clear water, you could look in and see your face, right? But murky water, you look in, you can't see anything. And it says that he who creates murky waters clouds what God is doing. So lukewarm Christian, a carnal Christian, clouds or murkies the witness of the Lord to the world. Does that make sense? You see? If you got the Jesus sticker and the Jesus t-shirt and all this stuff happening and you throw a fit in Home Depot, you're murking the water of the love of Christ, right? That's why I don't go to Home Depot anymore, because the place aggravates me. I can't go there. So I don't go there, right? It's like when God, and I still don't, I haven't learned the lesson, but, you know, when God told me to start returning the shopping carts, I was like, God, they pay people to do this. You know, I don't want to be the reason the economy collapses. Put the shopping cart back. So I want to please God, so I quit shopping. So this was very, very smart, and this leads to our third point, which we find in verse 14. Let's read 14 through 16. The point of that was, don't let yourself be a carnal Christian. Jesus said, be hot or cold, but don't be in the middle, right? Verse 14, and it happened when the king of Ai saw it that the men of the city hurried and they arose early and they went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at an appointed place before the plain. But check this out and underline this too. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them, and they fled away from the wilderness. So, you know, they approach like to attack, and the people of Ai, they start hooping and hollering, doing their stuff. So the men of Israel once again turn around and start running. Verse 16, so all the people who were in Ai, they called together to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua, and they were drawn away from the city. Check out verse 17. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel, here's where Bethel comes in, who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. Point number three is this, found in verse 14, and that is, past victories do not guarantee present victories. Past victories do not guarantee present victories. Just as past victories do not guarantee present failures. I think I messed that whole thing up. But you guys know what I'm saying. They were relying upon their last battle and just assuming that this one would be the same. Notice that they left the gates open. What's the gates? Well, that was the defense of the city. And we as Christians need to be very, very careful. Now, get the spiritual principle. Gates is an important thing. Jesus told Peter and the disciples, upon this rock, Peter, and he's not talking about the man, Peter. He's talking about Peter identified him as being the Son of God, that he was the revelation of God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I will establish my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What was that meaning? That was meaning the authority and the powers of hell. Friends, we have a gate. You might call yours a door. The authority of the Lord. And we need to guard our gates. Because the world wants to torch your gates. All you have to do is just look at public advertising. Listen to public radio or television, stuff like that, and the world is bombarding our gates to try to get our defenses down, right? We've got to guard our gates and not leave them open to the attacks of the enemy. Does that make sense? You guys tracking with me here? They left the gates open, and that was a big, big mistake. Here we see that just as the pride and overconfidence led to Israel's defeat, now Ai's pride and confidence leads to their defeat. And Ephesians 4:27 warns us to not give the devil a foothold. Guard your gates. Remember, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's those little things that we allow to get in and start nibbling away that will destroy the vine. Let's keep moving here. Verse 18, this is great. And the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear. Now, the Hebrew word there is kiron, which is also translated sword. I kind of think it was a sword. He's always fought with a sword. The Philistines fought with spears. We learned that from Goliath. I think this was a sword, not a spear. But, however, he says, stretch this out in your own hand, that is in your hand, towards Ai, for I will give it to your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand towards the city. Now we know from the New Testament, what is our sword? It's the Word of God, right? So what is this a picture of? You find yourself in a situation, you find yourself up against something, you find out what God's Word says about that situation, and you apply it, you live by it until you get your victory, right? Don't let the sword go. You keep a hold of it, pointing it towards that situation. I visualize Moses on the mountain when he's holding up the rod of God. Remember? As long as his hands were up, they were winning. Hands dropped down, they were losing. Friends, we got to keep the Word of God in our hands. We got to keep our swords sharp, and we got to keep them drawn. Right? And every day that goes by, we need to make sure we do that. And that's our fourth point is this in verse 19. Yesterday's defeats become today's victories. Look at verse 19. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city, and they took it, and they hurried to set it on the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw And behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven, so they had no power to flee. They gave up. They couldn't even run. They just, it dawned on them, oh man, did we make a mistake. They couldn't flee this way or that way, and the people who had fled to the wilderness, they turned back on the pursuers. So now the other 5,000 turn, and they've got them captured. And our point is that yesterday's defeats become today's victories. Friends, get yourself up, dust yourself off, and go forward. Don't give up. Pastor, I've been praying and dealing with this for 20 years. What do I do? Hey, go 21 years if that's what it takes. You just keep on going. Because, see, our God is the only God who can take ashes and make something beautiful. Our God is the God who can take water and make wine. Our God is the only God who can take sadness and make joy. You just keep going, because he takes failures and makes victories. Isn't our God so awesome? Amen. He is so cool. Well, we got another point. Let's read, because it's not down to verse 26. I have a little note here. We have the smoke rising up the sky, which is a picture of prayer in the Bible. We have Joshua holding the sword, which is a description of the word in the Bible. We have the army, which is a picture of action, picture of the working of the Holy Spirit. All those are needed for victory. We got to make sure we have all those in our lives. We have the prayer, we have the worship, we have the word. We have all that stuff in our life, right, to give us the victory. Let's keep moving. Verse 21. Now when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and they struck down the men of Ai. And then the others came out of the city against them, so they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side, and they struck them down so that they left not none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive, and they brought him to Joshua. Don't you know he was a little nervous? And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end to the slaying, all the inhabitants of Ai in the field in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. So it was a very small city. It was very small. Verse 26, our point is this, our fifth and final point is this: don't quit the battle. Don't quit the battle. Look at verse 26. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Don't quit the battle. It may get long. You may get weary. You've got the sword of God. Don't quit the battle. Don't drop your guard. Don't lower your sword. You fight until you get the victory. Verse 27, only the livestock and the spoils of the city Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he had commanded Joshua. Like I said earlier, they gave the first fruits of Jericho. Now they're starting to receive, and they're going to get a bunch of stuff. So Joshua burned Ai. This is only one of three cities that were burned. The rest of them they used to live in and stuff. But they burned Ai, and they made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remain there to this day. Now, this is very interesting. Verse 30 through 35, the balance of the chapter, which we're about to read, we're going to find that now Joshua does something that they were supposed to do before. And that is worship God. Check out verse 30. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord, to the God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. If you don't mind writing in your Bible right next to this, and we're going to turn to this in a minute, but for right now just write this. Deuteronomy 27 verses 1 through 14. That's where this commandment is given. And we'll turn there in just a minute, but let's finish reading. But go ahead and write that there for your reference. It's written in the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has welded an iron tool, and they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all of Israel with their elders and officers and judges stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, the other half in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. Therefore, beforehand, that they should bless the people of Israel. Now please notice this, verse 34. And afterwards, he read select portions of the scriptures. No. He read all the law, the blessings and the cursings. If you build your walk with God just on the blessings, you're an unhealthy spiritual person. I've had four visions in my life, and visions are very interesting. They're hard to communicate because they're hard to explain. But the first one I had, some of you old timers, you know the old Fry's that's now closed down on Litchfield Road and Van Buren? Okay. Well, my first one was, I'm in this Fry's. And all the counters and everything were there, but instead of like canned food and box food and stuff like that, they were wonderfully, beautifully prepared meals. I mean, turkey dinner, steak, and pot. I mean, these beautiful meals, and it was awesome, and all of this stuff was going on. It was just lined, and there were people who were skin and bones, barely could pick their feet up, were pushing empty baskets up and down the rows. All this food prepared, it was there. And these people were starving to death, couldn't feed themselves. The vision stopped. God spoke to me. He says, my people don't know how to feed themselves. The word is there. Then I had a second vision. I was in the same store. If you knew that store, as you walk in the door over to the right, they had the pharmacy. Well, in the second vision, this exact same thing. Except this time I turned, and where the pharmacy was, it wasn't a pharmacy. It was like a cafe area with tables and stuff. And there were these obese people. All these people out in the store starving, skinny. And then there were obese people in this little cafe area, and they were just eating Twinkies and ding-dongs and Hostess ho-hos and stuff like that. And God said, that's my church. They're not healthy. They don't have a good diet. Now, there's nothing wrong with Twinkies. But if your whole nutritional life is depending on Twinkies, you're going to be a sick individual, right? And just another, let me just throw this out there. If you're getting your meals and your nutrition from the QT, you're going to have some problems down the road. I mean, they got good taquitos, but come on. You guys know what I'm saying, right? Joshua read the whole word to him, the pleasant and the unpleasant. Friends, we as believers, we got to take the whole word of God. There's some of it that's hard to swallow, but necessary for us to eat. And the problem with a lot of the modern church leaders is we don't want to teach the sheep how to feed themselves, because that way we can control them, right? Your job, your responsibility as a Christian is to be able to take care of yourself. We're just helpers here. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right? He gave it all to him. Now check this out. So he read all of the blessings and the cursings according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among there. The word of God was for everybody, even the little ones. Right? That's why we do it on their level, but all the curriculum that Norma and everybody does for the children is all based on Jesus. It's all based on the Bible. Right? because that's what we need. Now, I told you to look at Deuteronomy 27. Look at that real quick, and then we need to move on. I'm taking a little longer than I thought I would. We still need to do communion. That's just a few pages back. But this is where God actually gave Moses this instruction, and Moses gave it to Joshua. You guys there? Okay, real quickly, verse 1. Now Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day that when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God has given you, that you shall set up for yourselves a large stone and whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this law. Then you, when you have crossed over, that you may enter into the land which the Lord your God has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers had promised you. Therefore it shall be, when you have crossed over the Jordan, that on Mount Ebal you shall set up these stones which I have commanded you today, and you shall whitewash them with lime, and there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use any iron tool on them. Why is that so important to the Lord? Because iron tools are made by man. Right? God says, you make stones that no tool, no man can't do this. Only God can do this. Stones were made by God. He says, you use the stones that I made. Don't try to, and see, that's the problem with the modern churches. We're trying to change the rock. We're trying to use man-made tools and ideas to change the rock. And God says, I won't accept that. I will not accept it. But the people won't come to your church unless you have fog machines and bubble machines and lights and rock band and all that stuff. Well, don't let them come. You go down to the Waddell's and get that. Which, by the way, if you have a lighthouse sticker on your car, don't go to the bar. I see it every time I pass by. I'm joking. Mary's like, what? That was a joke. Yeah. Yeah, start backing in if you got a lighthouse logo on there. Row of Ford trucks. Oh, there's a lighthouse group. Must be the men's meeting. You guys know what I'm saying, but you see what God is saying here? He's saying, man can't be a part of what I'm doing. You just receive the blessings of my altar. Right? Don't cut the stones. And friends, unfortunately, in our modern world, churches are cutting the stones. They're trying to make the rock fit instead of coming to the rock. Does that kind of make sense? Is that cool? All right. How I want to do this is, hereafter they had this great battle and everything. Now they worship God. Now they return to the Word. And I think it's awesome. They had these big stones that they plastered them, and then they had to carve in these stones the law, the Word of God, kind of like us putting the Ten Commandments up that the world is now taking down. That's where all this came from. That way they could live by them. That way they could see them. So what I thought would be just kind of neat, because it worked out that day, is now we're going to take communion. We're going to do our kind of little celebrating God. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here, and we'll close off our time here with communion. As Andrew said earlier in the announcements, we have an open communion. We don't require a membership to take communion, celebrate with us. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Lord invites you to take communion, and we certainly invite you to do that. So what's going to happen is the fellows are going to distribute the elements, and you'll receive two elements, a little cup of juice, which represents the blood of Christ, and then a wafer that represents the body of Christ. What I'm going to ask that you do is once you receive those elements, just hold on to them, and once everyone's been served, I'm going to read some scriptures. We'll pray and take together. So as the worship team comes up here, they're going to lead us in song. Let's be in an attitude of worship with them as the elements are passed out. Okay, fellas? For us in his letter to the Corinthians, where he writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that our Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Gilbert, would you give thanks for the body and pray for it?
Let's take together.
And in the same manner, Jesus took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." As a matter of faith and a matter of love, let's give thanks for the cup. Mark, would you please give thanks? Amen. Let's take together. Our Father, we thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus. Thank you that he was our Passover lamb who was slain. Thank you for the sinless body that was broken, for the perfect blood that was spilled for our salvation. Lord, we look back upon your sacrifice as we look forward to your future return. Father, may we be ever mindful of that great truth and of your great love for us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up here. And as we conclude our service, you all can pass your cups to the end of the aisles. As the fellows make their way back to their families, they'll pick them up. And we're going to have an altar time as we do every Sunday that we have our study. And I'm going to pray one more time, and then after I say amen, the altars will be open. And if God has spoken to your heart, if you have a need, maybe you're needing battle strategies for something in your life. Maybe you need to make confession and repentance like Achan did that we saw last week. Maybe you've been guilty of only accepting part of the Word of God and not all of it. Maybe today you recognize that you've been trying to alter Jesus in your own life like iron tools on a stone. Whatever it would be, the open altars is the place to take care of it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and then once I say amen, fellows will join me up front and the altars will be open. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that we can worship you in song. Thank you, God, that we can worship you in the reading and study of your word. Father, we thank you that we can worship and receive from you through communion and now through prayer. Father, we trust you, and I would ask that you would meet every need, that you would mend every hurt. Father, that you'd break every chain. Lord, I pray that today you would give comfort and peace, that today you'd give assurance, that today, Lord, you would give beauty for ashes. And Lord, as always, we give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.